guys, what's going on? You are listening to the Nerd News Network, only on ThisWeekInGeek.net. Sorry for the massive delay, guys. I had my birthday party on the weekend. I am just getting over some kind of a wicked cold. And if you hear some noise in the background, my wife is currently doing laundry. So I do apologize for that. It is what it is, but hey. I'm feeling pretty good. I guess to kind of give you guys kind of a personal update. My 35th birthday, which just recently passed. Last week, we had my party over the weekend. Mr. Ecott came out, so we had Justin, Cassie came out, Tom, my friend Chris, and Sean all came out, and we had a utterly fantastic time, just kind of screwing around, actually. We played the new version of the Jackbox, which is available on Xbox One. I should have a review of that next week at some point, or maybe the week after. In fact, if you're actually following my Twitter, going back to last Saturday, there actually is a game in there where it's called TKO, and you have to make up, t-shirts, and we were laughing so hard, I was almost 90% sure we were going to get a noise complaint, from one of my neighbors, because we were just laughing at some of the absurd and frankly offensive things we were putting on, t-shirts. One of my favorites being was this really crappy trophy, and then someone scrawled in crayon, "I tried," and then in perfect font says, "Well, shit." So that was one of our favorite ones. The other ones I can't tell you because they are frankly that offensive, but if you go back on my Twitter to last week, which is at BirdmanDodd, you can see some of the crazy creations we came up with. I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus by saying who did what, but it was a lot of fun, I gotta say, and that definitely breaks the streak of bad birthdays. Got some pretty cool stuff. My friend Rochelle sent me a copy of a game called Golden Sky Stories, which is this role-playing game, which is more cutie than combat. You play these animals that can briefly turn human, and it's like, I wouldn't call it a little kid RPG. I'd kind of throw it as kind of like a Saturday morning cartoon sort of thing. I haven't had a chance to look too much through it, but I'm going to. My buddy Clark, longtime friend and fan of the show, sent me Of Dice and Men, which is the story of D&D and the people that play it. My lovely sister-in-law, Kara, got me a first edition copy of Mage the Awakening, and that's for use with the new World of Darkness. I know this is one of Derek the Bard's favorite games. I'm very new to the Mage world, so looking forward to checking that out. I've had some other stuff come through. I'm just waiting for it to clear customs. So, yeah, honestly, this broke the streak of shitty birthdays, and I gotta say, I'm thankful for everybody who wished me a happy birthday on my Facebook, which was well over, I think, 300 of you. Got some phone calls, got some texts, and it was a good time, so thank you so much, guys. And, alright. So, to catch you guys up, what's going to be happening? So, you should be hearing this on Thursday. Tomorrow, on Friday, I'm recording an interview with a guy named Shane, who's behind the Delta Green RPG, which I'll probably just throw that into a botched role over the weekend. And I'm recording with James Rolfe, a.k.a. the Angry Video Game Nerd. We're going to talk about the Saw franchise, and that will be on Friday night. That should be out, my guess is Sunday, if not Saturday. That is the idea so far. So anyway, what do we got coming up on this week's show? Well, truth be told, kind of jam-packed, actually, in a lot of ways. I have two reviews for you. One is on a set of Nerf guns, which will be, well, if you happen to watch AMC on Sunday, and I know a lot of you do, because I see a lot of your social media posts. We're going to talk about a series of, well, I can't use that term because it doesn't make any sense, but foam dart blasters coming to us from Busby Toys based upon the Walking Dead license. Kind of a weird license, but you know what? We'll talk about that. We're also going to talk about a video game, a series of remasters, actually, that just came to us from Warner Brothers Home Entertainment. That is the Batman Return to Arkham. I got this on Xbox One. And we'll talk about How does that hold up as a remaster, so to speak? But, as always, I have news from around the world of nerd, be it horror movies, video games, whatever. And I suppose at some point, I should talk about the big elephant in the room, and that is the Nintendo Switch. Which, well, you know what, I guess we're going to start things off talking about the Nintendo Switch. So, last week, Nintendo revealed their new console, which will come out in March 2017. Now, there hasn't been a price point announced for this thing yet, and you may be wondering, well, what's the big deal? Well, it's a tablet PC, or a tablet-based game console that you can hook up to your TV, play with a normal pro-style controller, or you can bring the tablet part with you and attach basically controllers to either side of the screen, and you can play all sorts of games on it. There were demos of Skyrim, there was demos of a new Mario Kart title, possibly a new 3D Mario, Zelda, I forget what its subtitle is, but either way, stuff like that. And they're saying this is the replacement to the Wii U and possibly even the 3DS. It'll use cartridge technology, but they haven't announced a price point for it yet. They also haven't announced how much battery life. They have said Wii U discs and 3DS games will not be compatible. Now, that's not ruling out, say, software compatibility, when you could, say, bring in the virtual console if you wanted to. And that's kind of something I'm hoping the Wii, or so the Wii, see, I still want to call it the NX or whatever. Either way, with the Nintendo Switch, whether they'll do something more with that. Now, I'm looking at the two styles of control. There's one where it's like the controls are split down the middle, and there's, like, I guess, a charging dock between them, just looking at it right now. That doesn't look particularly comfortable. Now, there is a more pro-style controller, which I guess is sold separately, though I would wonder if some of the Wii U stuff will be backwards compatible. Kind of hoping, kind of doubting it, all things considered. Now, also, Nintendo's not mentioned whether this is a touchscreen-enabled console or not. And if anything, this would be the end of two-screen gaming for Nintendo. Because we had the Wii U, where we had the two screens. We had the 3DS, which we've had that forever. And I don't quite know how I feel about this. I mean, frankly, I'm not blown away. Now, the fact that I could have Skyrim on the go is kind of cool, but even Bethesda's saying, well, we haven't confirmed it necessarily yet. And at this point, Skyrim, as cool as it is, that's a 5-year-old game. So, even the remaster, it's just up-res textures with some additional support. So, even then, yay, I guess. Now, Nintendo has a shit ton of third-party support for this thing, so maybe I'm a little more optimistic, because the Wii U's third-party support dropped off dramatically within the first, like, year or two. Or at least, I didn't see many third-party titles that were even worth mentioning. So, I'm guessing this thing is going to retail anywhere between $300 and $350 US. So probably between $350 and $400 up here in Canada. Now, they also haven't mentioned what the internal storage on this thing is like, although I know they've been working with several companies to produce cartridges. So those cartridges should be fairly high density. So I'm guessing maybe internally, if I had to guess, I'd say 1 terabyte. I'm hoping for a 2 terabyte option, especially if they do offer backwards compatibility for older titles, because I'd like to know how much space we can get for maybe, say, GameCube games, or Wii games, or even Wii U games that'll be downloadable, and whether it'll have cross-platform compatibility by linking your Nintendo account to it. Can I just download titles that I own already, if you own them digitally? So, and I do own quite a few titles on my Wii U, so backwards compatibility isn't necessarily a huge selling point for me. But another thing, someone brought this up to me, and I think this is a really good idea, if Nintendo were to improve their virtual console service and maybe take a page out of PlayStation Now, in a sense, if you told me I could stream more or less the entirety of the NES, Super Nintendo, and N64 library for, say, $5 a month, you've got my money. Hell, I'd even pay $10 a month for that. If I can stream anything I want when I want. So, I don't know. I guess we're just going to have to wait and see whether that kind of shakes out or not. So, look for that coming up in March. I presume pre-order should be available soon if they're not available already. Yeah, sure. I mean, I'll grab a pre-order if Nintendo doesn't send me the console directly like they did with the Wii U. So, I don't know. I want to love this thing. I really do. I've always been a big Nintendo fan, but when something disappoints me, I've never been shy about saying, I don't know, guys, this kind of sucks. So, we'll have to wait and see. Now, this story does give me a little bit of hope, and this is about one of my favorite horror movie franchises of the entirety of the 1980s. I'm talking about Friday the 13th. Now, the last time we saw a Friday the 13th movie was back in 2009 with the reboot, where I had a very interesting experience in the theater from having a presumably special person in the audience chanting, "Get him, Jason! Friggin' get him!" Oh, this guy was enthused, would be a way to delicately describe his enthusiasm for Jason murdering teenagers. But no, it was ridiculous. So anyway, there was a recent interview given by Platinum Dunes, Brad Fuller and Andrew Form, and so the director of this, Breck Eisner, basically this is what the producers had to say. The movie's still happening. It's not a sequel to the 2009 reboot. It's not a found footage movie. It's not gonna be titled Bride of Jason. Oh my god, that'd be so fucking stupid. It doesn't have a title beyond Friday the 13th. It's not going to be in 3D. It's a period piece, so presumably be set in the 1980s. It will be R-rated. There won't be excessive exposition about Jason's supernatural powers. There's also no confirmation whether it's going to be an origin story or not, and whether they'll introduce Jason's dad for the first time. Production has started scouting a location, which is a camp in Georgia next to a lake. So they kind of want to give you that whole, kind of like the original two movies, kind of give you the Long Night at Camp Blood kind of feel. Casting hasn't started yet, but it'll start in December. Filming will begin in the spring for a release date of Friday, October 13th, which is also Fox Mulder's birthday from The X-Files, 10/13, just so you know. And that will be released next fall, 2017, on Friday the 13th. And the biggest challenge for screenwriter Aaron Gwowski, I'm pretty sure I just butchered your name, was coming up with a story that would please fans of the franchise, but also not alienate anyone who's never seen a Friday movie before. Well, I gotta say, I'm more hopeful for this than I originally was, and I'm kind of hoping this ties in well. In fact, I really think they're missing an opportunity next year not to have the Friday the 13th game release with the movie. But maybe we'll see a skin from the new movie early. That's just a thought. And I guess I should briefly talk about that for a second. Yeah, the Friday the 13th game got pushed back until because of the single player component being added. And that we won't see it till next summer. But we should see the beta, if not very late this year, very early next for PC only. Because console betas are, they're a thing, but they're a pain in the ass, according to them. So, but anyway, back to the movie. I want this to be good. And it's not that the 2000 reboot was complete shit. It did have some pretty cool ideas, but it never felt like a Friday movie to me. I mean, if I had to pick, if I could get a Friday the 13th movie that was a blend of number 4, number 6, and 7, with a touch of the self-awareness of maybe Jason X, I'd be okay with it. I mean, I want some levity. I want to have a few laughs while I'm there. But at the same time, I want to have that kind of hardcore Jason feel. And I guess another question is, are they going to bring back Kane Hodder or maybe even Ken Kersinger from Freddy vs. Jason? I'd be okay if they recast Jason. It would be nice if they gave it back to Kane Hodder, considering he's doing the video game right now. But Kane Hodder has to be in the right movie. For example, Freddy vs. Jason, as it was shot, I think would have sucked with Kane Hodder. But it worked for Ken Kersinger. So I guess we're just going to kind of have to wait and see what happens with this. I'm presuming we'll see some more updates in the spring. It would be awesome if we had a trailer for Comic-Con. I'm not holding my breath. Maybe we'll see something early. Maybe we'll see like a teaser for the Super Bowl, though that's really pushing it, considering horror movies are traditionally, you don't put a whole shit ton of money into them because you know they're not. You usually get a pretty big return on horror movies because they don't cost a lot to make. But we'll have to wait and see, because I'm pretty sure we weren't filling the seats up when the 2009 reboot came out. So we'll just have to wait and see. Okay, so final story this week. And this one comes out of my home country of Canada. So a new study, which will be published fairly shortly, from scientists Ermano Bora and Eric Troche from Laval University, said that we have detected signals that have exactly the shape of an extraterrestrial intelligence signal predicted in the previous publication and therefore in agreement with this hypothesis. So the study they're talking about refers to these very specific modulations coming from just 234 of 2.5 million stars surveyed. So that means a tiny fraction of these stars are behaving in a strange but remarkably similar manner. So the search for an explanation has kind of led the guys who wrote the paper to say, well, you know what? Well, once you've ruled out the possible, you then start looking at the impossible. Is it aliens? Now, the paper is called Signals Probably from an Extraterrestrial Intelligence, is being published by Publications of the Astronomical Society of the Pacific. And while these are fairly strong statements, it's just a hypothesis, saying there's lots of work to be done before this hypothesis can even be confirmed. They'll need to look at signals. Are they repeating? Are they using different kinds of equipment? Can they replicate the results that they're currently getting? So one of the really, 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 really cool things is that people are looking at this and are saying there's a pretty good possibility that something's up, because this is being taken very seriously by members of the scientific community, namely people like, say, Stephen Hawking, and even Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg are taking this fairly cool, which this is pretty cool, because there is this there's this thing called the Breakthrough Listen Initiative, which was established this year to look for signs of alien life, and has Stephen Hawking and Zuckerberg on its board members. And even they find the evidence promising. In a statement that was listed from them, they said, the 1 in 10,000 objects with unusual spectra seen by Bora and Troche are certainly worthy of additional study. However, extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. It is too early to unequivocally attribute these purported signals to the activities of an extraterrestrial civilization. Internationally agreed upon protocols for searches for the evidence of advanced life beyond Earth. SETI requires candidates to be confirmed by independent groups using their own telescopes, and for all natural explanations to be exhausted before invoking extraterrestrial agents as an explanation. I don't know, man. I mean, once again, as I've said previously on this show, you look at the size of the universe, you look at how life was formed here, and you kind of have to wonder, and whether you believe in an intelligent design or not, you can believe in how the universe functions. And there's sort of, I would call it the divine math of creation, so to speak. I mean, if we're here by complete chance, there's probably a pretty good possibility that something else is out there by, once again, complete chance. In the billions upon trillions of years of the existence of the universe, there's no way we're alone. So now whether they're necessarily going to come kick our ass like Independence Day, I can't necessarily promise you that. But I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Okay, so let's talk about something kind of fun. So once again, I was contacted by Busby Toys to take a look at their new foam dart blasters based upon The Walking Dead. Not exactly a license I would see for kids, necessarily, because the artwork on the packaging is very much based upon the comic book as opposed to the television show. So, what you get in the line of four guns is you get Andrea's rifle, which is a sniper rifle, which is a legitimate bolt-action sniper. You also get Rick's double barrel shotgun. Think of Ash's shotgun from Evil Dead. You got a pretty good approximation of that. You get Abraham's rifle, may he rest in peace, which is kind of like an M16, M4 style. And you get Carl's revolver. And these are called zombie blasters. So one of the really cool ones that I like, actually my favorite of the line, is Andrea's rifle. It is actually a clip-fed bolt-action sniper rifle. So you literally have to pull back the bolt to load in the dart from the clip, and then boom, fire the shot. Which these things fire, they say at approximately 72 feet. My apartment's not that big, but one of the cool things that I did with it is I shot my friend Kelly with it. And there is so much power behind these things. They legitimately hurt. So I might suggest you be a little bit careful if you are going to be playing around with these things. They do say recommended for ages 6 plus. I might recommend maybe you bump that age to maybe say 8 to even 10. Because if you get shot in the face with these things, you're going to know it. But yeah, still, the sniper rifle, very cool. It actually even comes with a functional scope on top. You can even take that off, which means it would technically be compatible with other foam dart branded products, I would think. Or at least there's a attack rail on top. I haven't experimented with it, but I can't see why not. The next one that I want to talk about is Rick's shotgun. Now, this has the shortest range of all of them. It only fires 35 feet, but you literally break it in half like a real breech shotgun, and you load the darts into these shells. So, now you really gotta force. This is the only gun I had trouble with, because I wasn't breaking the barrel in half far enough for it to cock the firing mechanism. However, though, when you put the darts inside these two plastic shells, when you fire the gun, you can fire them either single fire or double fire it. When you crack the barrel again, the shells fly out. That's pretty friggin' badass. I was actually saying to Blair, dude, this would be so awesome for an Evil Dead cosplay, because you could literally pull it off. Like, it's so, so legit. There's even a compartment in the back of the gun in the stock where you can store extra bullets, which I think is pretty amazing. So, now you get six darts and four shells, so you can store extras in that little compartment. The next gun, this is the one. I had a little bit of trouble getting the feeder to work on this mechanism, where you actually cock it via the handle. And this is Abraham's M16 zombie blaster. Once again, fires up to 72 feet. It is clip-fed, and you just fire after every shot. You cock the handle, and it fires. Now, it's not like a full-sized M16. It's more like I said, it's like a very stocky M4. You don't have the foregrip on the top, but you do have kind of like, it looks like a folding stock, but it doesn't fold. But it's extended. So it's like, it's kind of like, if you play Call of Duty, it reminds you of like, I think it's like a G36, I think. So it's not a solid stock. It's like a, It's like a wire one, so to speak. Anyway, it's still pretty fun. It is still pretty cool. You get 12 long distance darts and a dart clip. This thing, once again, fires at a pretty good pace, but I did find I had trouble loading it. Like, the darts weren't always consistent to fire. That may have been just a fault with my particular model. So, I wouldn't consider that a problem for the line, but maybe something to look out for. Finally, this is the one that is the simplest of design. It's Carl's Revolver. If you've ever fired any of the Nerf Gun and Strike series, I actually have two of them right now. I want to say they're called Enforcers. I think they're basically like that. It's an automatic revolver, and each time you fire it, it advances the barrel. You can fire six shots. Once again, 72 feet. You can knock pretty much anything you want over in these things. In fact, I've actually knocked pictures off the wall in my house with this. I've shot my friend Kelly with it, much to her annoyance. So can I recommend these toys? I actually really can. But I might recommend, if you're a parent, be careful. Make sure your kids understand, do not shoot animals with these things, and do not shoot each other in the face. These things will hurt. And considering the velocity on some of these things, I wouldn't be unreasonable to think you could. There's the old saying, you'll shoot your eye out. Just be careful with these things. But these things are tremendously fun, though. Like, seriously, this takes up dart warfare to a new level. And I think that's pretty awesome, especially with Andrea's sniper rifle. That's pretty much if you had to buy one gun out of this line, buy the sniper rifle. It is unbelievably badass. Okay, so finally, I want to talk about a game from Warner Brothers Home Entertainment. We are going to be talking about Batman Return to Arkham. Now, this is a remaster of Batman Arkham Asylum and Batman Arkham City, along with all the DLC. Now, I'm not going to talk about the games so much, simply because, well, they've been around since, I think, 2009. You should have played them by now, especially since we had Arkham Knight last year, which hopefully you guys all had a chance to beat, because it was amazing. Probably one of my favorite games of last year, actually. So what this does, it offers two games, both available on PC, Xbox One, and PlayStation 4, and gives them the quote-unquote remaster treatment, which basically means higher textures, improved lighting, stuff like that, and includes all the DLC. And they're not wrong. They're not wrong in that regard. Now, I had read people were experiencing some frame rate issues on Xbox One, and that's where I've been playing mine. And this happened with Arkham Asylum, especially when you run down corridors. I never encountered that particular slowdown issue, but I was not playing from a disc. I always have all my games digital. So I didn't encounter this issue, though I did notice some lighting issues with this game. And it's not an issue for me particularly, but since it is remastered and up-resed and everything looks nice, it kind of takes away some of Gotham's quote-unquote moodiness, where some of the shadows seem to be deeper and longer than what they should be. But that kind of added to the atmosphere of the Batman games. Mind you, I'm the type of guy who does tend to crank up the brightness and play with the contrast in his games. I want to see the creatures coming out of the dark before they come at me, or I want to be able to make out fine details in the environment, just because I want to see everything. And I want it to look cool. But these are still the same great games that you got before. Now, if you're a PC player, is it worth getting these? Probably not. Because if you already have the Game of the Year editions for either of these things, you already have everything. You're just pretty much improving textures. And it's not worth it for a really big graphical upgrade. Now, for console users, yeah, if you don't want to go out and dig out your old 360 or PS3, then yeah, it's worth having these games on your console, because then you can have the complete Arkham experience from Rocksteady, having Arkham Asylum right through to Knight in one convenient place, which is pretty cool. Plus, it'll count towards your gamer score again. So why the hell not? That's kind of what I'm going through them again, because I had these on the 360 and PS3 and never quite got through both of them. So now I'm having a chance to go through it all again and have all the DLC, which for Arkham City was such a pain in the ass, because you had, I think, like Circuit City had exclusive missions, Best Buy. I think if you bought Mortal Kombat Injustice or something, you got your own skin. In fact, one of the cool things about Arkham City is you have all these different skins, and I'm currently playing through it with Batman in the Sinestro Corps and Animated Series Batman. Which is kind of neat, though, because you can actually have the animated series, animated Robin, and even Long Halloween Catwoman. Which I think is actually pretty amazing. Just the fact that you have that. Plus, you have all the additional, like, Robin missions and the Catwoman stuff and the Joker stuff. And that is pretty nice. And I definitely enjoy the fact that they took the effort with this remaster to give us all that. But I do feel like there are some missed opportunities here. It would have been nice to get a making of documentary, or I know how some games, I think even with Duke Nukem 3D, the Duke World Tour edition, just recently got commentary on it, and I know the Valve games have done this before. So it would have been nice to maybe get some commentary, or just a little bit of extra content, so to speak. I mean, hell, maybe even like, hey, here's a 20-minute sit-down with Kevin Conroy and whoever else they can drag in, or Mark Hamill. You know, just give me a little something, a little extra would have been nice. But if you don't own these on the older generation consoles and you've been putting it off for a while, then it's not a bad value, and I really do recommend it. However, if you own these, on previous-gen consoles and you can easily get to them, then it's sort of, do you really care about some minor graphical stuff? But once again, like I said, you can get the achievements again, so I leave the decision entirely in your capable hands. Alright guys, that's pretty much going to do it for me. Like I said, I do have an interview coming up with the guys behind Delta Green, sort of Call of Cthulhu meets 24. I'm going to do that on Friday afternoon, and then Friday evening, me and James Rolfe will attempt to defeat the Jigsaw Killer as we talk about the Saw franchise, the glory that is torture porn, though having some second thoughts about this series. So we'll talk about that on Friday into the weekend. So hopefully you guys will forgive my little bit of a scatterbrain schedule recently. I'm feeling much better, thank you. I don't need parts that badly. I'm not that sick. Anyway, I'm Mike the Birdman Dud. I'll talk to you guys again later. So until next time, live free or die hard.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my God, there's snot on my face. And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub. And I'm not a join. What the f*** does that mean? F*** that. 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat.
Okay, I'm good. Geico.
Holy shit. Oh, my gosh. Freak. Die. Holy crap. Whoa. Whoa. Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by @replying to @thisweekingeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Prono Bozo at PRONOBOZO.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your